Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, can two things be right at the same time? How do we respond when the situation is contentious and difficult? Without further ado, let's get started. Well, hello and welcome to the At the Table podcast. Today I'm going to tackle a topic that's just kind of been on my heart. Can two things be right at the same time? How do we respond in a world that's incredibly divisive and seeking to bring things between us? It's a difficult topic, and so many times I find so many well-meaning followers of Jesus on different sides of different topics, and it just makes me wonder, can two things be right at the same time? Well, cutting to the chase, the short answer is I believe yes. I posted something on Facebook and Instagram a few days ago, whatever it was, it's irrelevant, that sometimes in life things are not binary. Two things can be right at the same time, can be true, I should say, at the same time. Using discernment is key. So what I want to do is I'm not going to tackle any specific issue. While I may mention a couple of things just to give context, what I want to do is just kind of share from this believer's heart what I believe, what I believe our goal is as a follower of Jesus. And newsflash, our goal as a follower of Jesus is to go and make disciples or to spread the gospel, to make Jesus famous, to make him known, to love others. But in the midst of that, sometimes we get caught up in difficult, challenging situations. Sometimes when we feel like we're completely in the right and someone else isn't, and we have to stop and consider the entire context. There's been a couple of times recently, specifically, but in the last 6 years or so, where things have just gotten really crazy and off the hook. Something tragic will happen. Something tragic happens, or something that appears to be clearly wrong happens. And different sides of the political spectrum, and sometimes even different sides to the church, come at a problem. And then what happens is rush judgments are made, people get angry, they say a lot of mean things, they cancel people, they do all these things. And what invariably happens is down the road, a period of time, maybe days, maybe weeks, in some cases even longer, the truth comes out, a different angle from the altercation, a different perspective from the argument, a different backstory to help understand why somebody in that position may have done what they did comes to the forefront. And it's not that anything is less tragic, it's just maybe it's even more tragic. Something that I've really focused on since I've become pastor, and something that I share frequently when I'm preaching, is context is key. When we're reading God's Word, we never want to isolate one verse apart from the rest of the Bible, or even one verse apart from the same chapter in the same book. Understanding the context behind what was written helps us understand the meaning better, right? Just hierarching view here, a verse is part of the context of a chapter, which is part of the context of a letter or a book, which is a part of the context of the entire Bible. And one of the claims that is true is that all scriptures God-breathed and that it is useful, and that it's without error. So whenever we see a context switch there, we want to just try to figure out what's the context behind the verse, what was the author, who was the intended audience, all those things. Anyways, without getting too far into the deep end of that, I think that idea of context is so incredibly important. Why was something done? What happened surrounding the event? What happened leading us to this tragic thing? And so this leads me to make the statement that I believe in many cases, two things can be true at the same time. Somebody could have lost their life, and that's incredibly tragic. Incredibly tragic. And I never want to be that guy that ever forgets how tragic when a life is lost. you know, God created us and we are created in his image. And therefore, it is our belief as followers of Jesus that everybody has value regardless of what they do. Now, their actions may warrant certain punishments and things like that. Bad mistakes may lead to certain things that cause us harm. But in the end, the value of that life is still important. And I believe that. I believe life is important from womb to tomb. Everything should be considered, and even beyond tomb, if you want to be real, life of the individual, the spirit, your soul, where you're going after your body stops ticking is so incredibly important. That's, as a pastor, I believe people are important. People are important. But on the same token, a life lost can be tragic, 100%. Never want to deny that. But at the same time, actions by that individual who lost their life may have, at the very least, affected the outcome, if not been something that is a justification for a reaction by, per se, a law officer. And I know I'm going to be stepping into a deep here, and so I'm not going to wade too far. But what I want to try to say is this, that sometimes two things can be true at the same time. So why do I bring that up? Well, the real reason I want to bring it up is that I want to encourage people to do a couple of things. When we're faced with something that seems so unobjectively wrong, to not rush to judgment, to not quickly jump in and say, that person needs to have this happen and so forth. Yes, it's okay to say that loss of life was tragic. But don't be so quick to condemn what happened otherwise. You know, one of the tenets of our judicial system is this idea of it's innocent until proven guilty. And the exact reason why that is so enforceable and so important is because all life is valuable. And individuals that may be accused of something terrible or involved in something awful do have the right to a fair trial and fair opportunity to prove that they're innocent. So if for nothing else, we want to stop and take pause. Get the context. Try to understand to the best of your ability what happened. You may get to the point where it's so clear that you need to call something out and make a statement on social media. But even then, I want to make sure once we have the context, I want us to all check our motives. Check our motives. Will a response in a situation, even if we have the full context, even if we're 100% right, how we respond matters. And the reason I think it matters is because as followers of Jesus, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, how you treat others is important. We are to love God with all that we are, and we're to love others above ourselves, which means we need to not only value their life, but we need to have the desire to see them come into a relationship with Jesus, even maybe better in life, to draw them closer to him. So our gut reaction as followers should be to care for that individual, to get the context, to take pause, to understand what might have happened there. And listen, I'm not saying that if you're in the middle of that situation, something tragic happens to a family member, something like that, you need to be given a little bit of grace. But I think our rush to judgment in the social media age is playing into the hands of the evil one. See, the rush to judgment, to just jump on a bandwagon because somebody you support says a statement on Instagram or Facebook, it is careless at best, could be detrimental. You know, I think God gave us two ears and one mouth and two eyes because we should check what we're seeing, check what we're hearing before we take a step out and speak. So when we run across challenging issues, when we run across controversial issues, we need to check our motives at the door. We need to, of course, get the context, pause, stop, take it to the Lord in prayer, check our motives, and then take the time to really do the research. But then maybe the best piece of advice I could give you is this, is that we should go to what the Bible teaches us. Yes, we are to love 100%, but we're also to be able to discern evil and to be able to call that out. And verses that I quoted or posted on my Facebook page this past week was Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, at the beginning, Paul's talking about personal responsibility. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will. In other words, surrender to him, looking at things through his perspective, transform, being different than the world. Well, the verses I quoted were a couple verses later in talking about love. In verse 9 of chapter 12, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. See, loving others sometimes involves God's word, Romans 12:9, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Sometimes we need to call out what is evil. Sometimes we need to call it out and have the same reaction that God has to evil, which says hate, so to detest, to abhor, one of the translations said, A-B-H-O-R, abhor. But at the same time, loving the individual. You know, I heard a phrase a long time ago, and I used to think it was a cliche, but I'm starting to think maybe the person was onto that. It said, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin, and I think that's so true. We need to love people, but we also need to call sin what is sin. And back to the beginning of Romans 12, where it tells us we need to be able to discern. We need to be able to discern. We need to know what God's will, what is love, what his values are, and we can do that. We have a Bible. You should have a Bible. If you don't have one, comment in my notes below, comment in the whatever podcasting app you're looking at, and I'll get you a Bible. God's word is the center and the truth to which we are to build a relationship with him on. And when you run across difficult issues that are stir emotions, that divide people, that get break, fracture, and sometimes destroy good relationships, I want us to remember this discussion. Stop. Get the context. Understand what happened there to the best of your ability. Seek out God's truth and justice in those situations. Yes, love people because people need to be loved. They need to see and experience a love of Jesus that can be sometimes transferred from us to them when we love them as even when we shouldn't. We are to call out evil. We are to speak for truth, but we're do it with the grace, the same amount of grace, if possible, probably not, that was given to us and shown to us by Jesus. See, that's the amazing thing. When you read Jesus' life, when he dealt with difficult people, he so many times just loved them where they were at. One that comes to mind is a woman at the well in John chapter 4, perhaps the best example of evangelism. Jesus didn't lead with the sin. He didn't lead with what she was doing wrong. You know what he led with? Could you get me water? She was there to get water. He was thirsty. He found a connecting point. And in that time, he built their trust to be able to then lead to, this is what you need. You need me. Jesus saying, you need this living water. Your sins that you've had are causing you to be drifting from me, but I'm giving you something else. I'm giving you salvation. And so as we think about difficult issues, whether it's memes posted by a president, whether it's the unfortunate loss of life at the hands of a law enforcement agent, I encourage us to just stop. Don't feed into the narrative. Don't feed into the anger. Don't feed into the hate. of the individual. Stop and recognize the truths that are in God's word. Both sides, both people have value because they are made in the image of God. Get the full context, get all the details, and then make a discernment based on the transformation of your mind, which is led by the reading of the scripture. And then when in doubt, err on the side of love and grace. Be a part of the solution. See, what can I do to help this situation out? What can I do to be a part of the solution? What is God asking me to do to interject into the lives of people? I would have to say it's probably not post a mean thing on Facebook. Rather, it's talk to the individual, get to know the details if it's a personal situation, love them, point out truths that need to be pointed out, but do so with grace, and then be a part of God's solution in that situation. Well, I'm not sure if this has helped you, but I certainly hope this has helped you in your knowledge and pursuit of knowing and following Jesus Christ. I pray that this causes you to take heed and to pause, to think, to get the context, to pray it over, compare it against God's word, and then respond appropriately the next time a controversial topic comes up that has people pitting one another against each other and saying, you're wrong, I'm right. And remember, just like I said at the beginning, sometimes two things can be true at the same time.
You've been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.